at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right. Good morning, St. Louis, and welcome to the Home Improvement Show on KMOX. I'm Rich Orris, your trusted source for all things home maintenance and remodeling. And, you know, if you can believe it, we're just 4 days away from New Year's Eve. As we wrap up this year, we look ahead to next year, 2025. It is the perfect time to sit down and think about and talk about those home improvement resolutions you can come up with. Maybe you're dreaming of a kitchen makeover, tackling some overdue repairs, or creating a cozier space for the cold months ahead. It's going to be getting colder. We just know it's going to happen. Whatever's on your list, I'm here today. We got 2 full hours for you, so you can give me a call at 314-436-7900 with your questions about remodeling projects, maintenance tips, or anything else to get your home ready for this new year. We're here. We're ready for you. We'd love to help out. So let's kind of start the countdown to a more beautiful, functional home for you together. You can call in now and let's chat and see how we can help and see what's going on. And you know, as the year wraps up for everybody too, we're going to be kind of shifting the holidays, shifting what we're doing, thinking about getting all that Christmas, all the Christmas decorations, the lights, everything down, storing them away, getting out the New Year decorations, everything for your New Year's Eve party if you're having one, if you're having family, guests, big party, little gathering. Whatever you're doing, we're all going to be kind of making that transition into what's going on. So it's definitely, we've got some tips and some resolution advice on maybe how, if you don't know how to make a New Year's resolution, if you're thinking like, well, how would I even make something for my house? So maybe later here we can kind of run through some of that. I got a Christmas light storage tip for you on how to keep them in order and make it easy for next year. But for now, we've got Keith on the phone. Let's jump right to the phones and see what's going on there. Keith, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. Hey, can I vent a stove vent into the attic?
Well, I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, you can go up through the attic, but I would take it outside of the house through a damper, either through a side kind of gable wall or through the roof is still fine. But it just the temperature when you're cooking and there's steam and the smells and everything else, it's just a really good idea to get that outside of the attic space, especially in the winter, because you're really – you can create a lot of frost condensation and a lot going on with warm air, warm, moist air from the stove and steam going up into the attic space.
Well, just thanks a lot. Now I got another job to do.
Yeah. Makes the job a little bit tougher. And I also recommend too, when running that pipe, a smooth wall galvanized pipe, that air is going to move through there easier, faster. You could get your length a little bit longer that way and getting the air to the outside if it's a smooth walled pipe. And when it's in the attic, I would also recommend insulating around that pipe because your pipe's going to have that temperature. So if it goes up out of the roof, your pipe will still be really, really warm, and you might get condensation forming on that pipe. So insulating that pipe in some fashion is a great idea also.
Because the vent I have now, my wife wants to put one of those chrome, you know, vents over the stove, and the one I have now, it really just doesn't go anywhere. It just, it's got a filter on it, and I don't know where it goes. It doesn't go into the attic, I know.
So it's probably just recirculating the air back into the kitchen through a filter is what most of those do. So they suck it in, it goes through a filter, and it comes out the top of that fan kind of right in front of the cabinet, usually it back into the kitchen and just recirculates that air. So if you're on an exterior wall, if you can go straight through the wall to the outside through the siding, that's the quickest, easiest way to get that outside and get rid of that air.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your time and your expertise.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, thanks for the call, Keith. I appreciate it. It's a great question. Something very common. And I remember when at the house I'm in now, it was early COVID. It was right when COVID was starting. We got new appliances and I got a new microwave over the stove microwave range hood. And I was going through the siding, through the wall and ducting that directly to the outside through the wall. And I had a couple of neighbors walking their dogs and stuff stop by and they're like, oh, wow. They're like, what does mine do? And they're kind of the same scenarios. They go, I don't have anything like that on the side of my house. And I've got the same layout. So that's where my kitchen wall is. And they're like, yeah, some of them started asking, what would it take? How hard is it? How much would it cost to get rid of that? Because it is definitely a great idea to get that to the outside. When you put warm, moist air, and it's the same theory for your bath fans. It's the same theory for anything venting up into the attic. A dryer, I've seen some of those go up in through the attic. And I actually have a few different photos of things that I found over the years where one with a dryer vent where the whole like area where that vent pipe was leaking, just covered in lint in the attic. And then when you look at the lint that's on top of the planks that you walk on and everything around the insulation, you can see circles where water drips and it hits that lint and kind of creates a little circle of, you could tell where the water's dripping from the plywood, the nails, and the ceiling joists, the roof joists, everything above back down onto that lint. So when it's winter and it's very cold and you're putting warm, moist air from a dryer, a bath fan, or a kitchen vent, it's a great idea. Get that completely outside. I've also got some photos of an attic that I went up into and the entire underside of the roof sheeting, everything, it's just covered in frost. It looks like it's outside. There's little balls of frost on the end of the nails, which that's going to be all your drips when that starts turning into water and thawing out. That's going to be the drips that drip everywhere. So sometimes you think you have a roof leak and it's really just your attic frosting, like it's snowing outside. It ends up like it's raining inside your attic. And over the years, you'll get water stains on the ceiling. Everybody's trying to track down this leak. You end up buying a whole new roof or repairing roof areas thinking that there could be a problem, and it's really all on the underside. And it's also ruining the roof decking, that plywood sheeting. It'll weaken that and get it to start to delaminate and cause more work, more repairs, more cost when you end up getting a new roof. So I see a lot of that as I'm out there running around trying to help everybody out, just like today, trying to help you guys out. I got a lot of time left for you. Appreciate the call from Keith. And if you have anything you got going coming into this new year, any thoughts, questions, comments, resolutions, let me know all about it, or I can help you out with it. 314-436-7900 finds me here today. We'll have more to come right after this.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, here we go. The Home Improvement New Year's Eve show, the last Saturday prior to the new year. And we all kind of think about that next year to come. What actions are we going to take? What are we going to work on? What are we going to do? As you're considering all of this, if you have any questions about anything going on around your home, any maintenance issues, any remodeling tips or questions you might have, if you're having something done and you're thinking, I'm not sure about what's happening, a good third opinion is a great thing to run through just to see if you think what's happening is a good deal or not. Unfortunately, it's not always, and that's kind of the sad case of what happens and what goes on out there. We see it all the time with, I put money down and never got the job done, or they started and they've been working on it for months and months and months and I'm never getting through it, and just all sorts of issues with everything. So no matter what's happening for you, I'm right here for you. I can help you out today. Anything you need, 314-436-7900 finds me. And the one thing I was thinking about is a little tip with the Christmas light storage as you're taking down all of your Christmas decorations and all of the strands of lights. A trick that I've kind of done for quite a while with my strands of lights is to take a piece of cardboard, cut kind of a rectangle of cardboard. If you cut a little slit in each edge of the cardboard, kind of catty corner from one another, top to bottom, and you hook those lights into the slit on one corner and just start wrapping those lights around that piece of cardboard till you get to the other side and put the cord in the second catty corner slit on the other side. It'll keep it kind of on there nice, straight, tight, and it won't get kind of jumbled and knotted up and everything on you. And make sure you want to start with your female plug side, wrap all the way around, then you're ending with that male plug, the part you're going to plug in. So when you go back to restart and take it off there as you strand them next year, you're starting with the part that's plugging in. You can do the same thing with a paper towel cardboard tube or wrapping paper. If it's really long lights, cardboard tube, put a slit at each end of the tube, tuck it in, wrap it around that tube till you get to the other end, tuck it in the slit. And the best thing is, boy, with Amazon, with shipping, with everything coming in the mail, so much shopping over the mail. I know we all have just hundreds of cardboard boxes. They come all the time. And so this is a great way to recycle some of those cardboard boxes too, by making these and storing things in them. So that's a little tip from me to you on putting those lights away and keeping them good and ready for next year. And as we think about next year and we look at, I talk every year about New Year's resolutions for your home, for your home improvement. And I know it could probably be a little questioning on it's easy for a person to pick a New Year's resolution and say, well, it's time I start working out, or it's time I start losing weight, or it's time I eat better, or it's all I can quit smoking, or all the different things that you can do personally. But when you look at your home and you think, well, how would I even make a resolution for my home, and what would it even be, especially if your home is up to date, if you do a lot of, I mean, I have clients that do remodeling with us. We've remodeled their kitchen, all their bathrooms, different spaces, the fireplace. We have a lot that there's just not a lot left to do until they're back around and maybe they want to change something that they did 15 or 20 years ago. So really, to make a New Year's resolution, even for someone like that, what would you even do? Well, if you kind of look at actions that you can do for your home, consider different things that you could do to help the home in other ways. Of course, if you want some updating, if you want some remodeling, then yeah, that's an easy one to go into to say, I'm going to try and figure out tackling that bathroom this year because I really want to get that better, get it updated, make it work better. But there's so many other things that you can consider. So if you just start with things that might need to happen around the house, like declutter and organization, or if you look at energy efficiency improvements, if you've done a lot of remodeling but not a lot of energy efficiency, just generally staying on top of maintenance. Like this year, I'm going to really think about maintenance, or think about how you can go green. Can you do things that are greener for everything out there in what you do to your home? What do you use on the outside? So think about, maybe that's a good way to go. Say, I'm gonna go green, and I'm gonna start to research and figure out ways I can kind of do that for my home and help the environment across the whole globe, the whole world. It could help everybody. It could help the whole country. So maybe enhancing your curb appeal is a good area where you're like, yeah, that's something I want to focus on. I've done a lot inside, so let's focus outside. So picking those areas, then you can start to look at those areas and consider, what can I do, and just narrow it down. It could help you kind of get there with something for this year. So, hey, we've got Pat on the line. Let's jump to the phones and see what's going on. Pat, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my question. In 2016, we had a new roof put on, and my husband researched and did not want a ridge vent. So he opted to do the 3-turbine Whirlybirds, LaMonco, I think is the brand.
Uh-huh.
The roofer put on. And now one or two of them are squeaking very, like at 2 a.m, I can hear it. I don't think you oil those. I think you have to replace them. Is that correct?
I mean, it is like metal spinning. Some of them can be somewhat better than others. So it's definitely something you could try to get up there and use some kind of oil, WD-40, if it's metal on metal, to see if that would help. Oiling it is definitely going to buy you time. It's kind of the Band-Aid on, I mean, I have a few doors in the house that I'm constantly oiling the hinges and stuff, and it works well. And then like a year later, you start to get the squeak back. So if it works for you, you will eventually get that squeak back. And so replacing it might be just the best, easiest thing to do, just to get it over with and get it done, and not have to worry about it, and maybe get it done when it costs a little bit less, because everything's, since 2016, everything's gotten really, really expensive, but it's not going down. So if you oil it for 3 years, and then you finally go, well, maybe I'll just go ahead and replace them, because I'm sick of getting on my roof once a year and oiling these things, well, they'll probably cost more 3 years from now than they will right now.
Is there a lifespan on those little turbines?
I mean, not that I've really ever heard, because, I mean, I've seen houses, I've seen those things last years and years, but they were also ones that were made when they were more widely used. So the ones that lasted 30, 40 years were really made a long time ago when they were used a lot more, and people really go to the ridge vent just because they don't like the way those turbines look. But those turbines, the 3 that are on your house, if you're set up properly, that will work. That will ventilate your roof as well as a ridge vent.
Yeah, we didn't have the ventilation underneath in the soffit area, my husband said. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why he chose to do the Whirlybird.
Yep, you probably just got the kind of gable vents on each end, so those will pull that air from each end across that attic, and that will ventilate and work really, really well. My first home, our starter home in Florissant, Missouri, had that exact setup, and it worked. It worked well. I never changed it either.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate your help.
All right, no problem. I appreciate the call and the question, and either way, it could probably help you out to do either, but I might just recommend getting them replaced just so you get some little less money on the replacement at the time and a little longer lasting resolve of it not squeaking again, because it could also only last like a month or two maybe, and then you're back at it anyways if you try and oil them up. So you don't want to be getting on the roof too terribly much. But hey, for everybody out there, we're going to jump into our middle hour break. It's only the first hour. We got a ton of time left for you. Anything you've got going on, like Keith and Pat, feel free to jump in and let me know what's happening for you. Let me know how I can help you out. 314-436-7900 finds me, and we'll have plenty of more stuff coming up next for you right after this.
The Voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right, here we go, everybody. Home Improvement Show. Rich Orr is here to help you out today. Anything you have going on around your house, I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of these types of New Year's resolutions, but I'd also love to hear if you have one that you come up with that you want to do around your house. I think it's great. I think it's a good thing to help you focus on the home, keep the home safe, healthy, maybe not just even remodeling, but just keeping up with the maintenance and everything happening around you. You never know what you might find. So give me a call. Let me know what's going on for you. 314-436-7900 is where you will find me right here today. Plenty of time and space for everybody. Call in and let's see what's happening. So going back through, we went over a lot of the different areas. So good things to consider is all those different areas, but getting into some of those areas, if you're picking decluttering or organization, maybe that's something that you think, you know, I could probably do that better. I could probably use some more of that. And so as you look at it, really setting goals, what you could consider to declutter each room, kind of tackle one room at a time. The biggest thing with New Year's resolutions with people that they always talk about is trying to go too big, trying to go too hard, trying to go too fast, and then it only lasts 2-3 weeks, and then you're kind of out of it and you're overwhelmed. So keep it simple, keep it easy, go one room at a time, really investing in some storage solutions using bins and shelving and organizers to keep all of your items tidy. And a really big one that probably a lot of us, I could probably start thinking of myself, is really adopting the one in one out rule for organization and keeping things decluttered. Is for every new item that you bring in, donate or discard an item. Of that, so you bring something new in, you like it, and then the other thing that you take away, you gotta take it away completely, donate it, help somebody else out. They'll love what you're doing to help them anyways. So if you're looking at, maybe you think about energy efficiency and you go, well, you know, that's something that I could probably look at. One, you can consider finding somebody to do an energy audit for you so that it will help you figure out what to tackle, where to tackle. There are easy big items that you can find yourself and really just know that that's where things happen and how houses are built. So you can look at starting with something simple as just looking for drafts, sealing up drafts, weather stripping around doors, making sure the windows are working well. One good way to test that out is in a door or a window, take a piece of paper, lay it on the windowsill or put it on the door sill or put it on the side of the door, close the door, close the window, and then pull that piece of paper into the room and see how easy that moves. That's an easy way to kind of test out. If it just kind of comes right in, then you know there's something worth tightening up. But other energy things you can consider is appliances. If you're getting ready for appliance, consider replacing older appliances with more energy efficient models, including washers, dryers, dishwashers are a big one. Saves a lot of water. Switching to LED bulbs is a good way to save some energy and cost. Swap out all those old incandescent bulbs and go to all LED around the house. A programmable thermostat is a real easy way to kind of help out and optimize your heating and cooling, reduce the bills a little bit, and really set it to where when you're asleep, you can drop that temperature a few degrees and back up in the morning. And if, when you do that throughout the whole year, that's why the thermostats are so good, because it takes time. If you do it just a little bit, it's really not going to matter much. But if it's always that way, then it's really going to kind of help out. Staying on top of maintenance is a great topic. I think this is a big one for a lot of homeowners to just kind of look and say, this would be a good one to consider. How can I stay on top of the maintenance around the house? I've spoken about it often, how this is what I do, and sometimes it's even hard for me to remember to do everything, and you just kind of time flies by, and then you realize, oh my gosh, I haven't done that, or you haven't called and scheduled to have that your furnace inspected, and now it's the dead of winter, and it's kind of a little late, everything's running. How do you stay on top of all that? Well, create a maintenance schedule is a good thing you could do, and really schedule out that HVAC servicing, the filter replacements, the gutter cleaning. Just make a really good schedule. With phones these days, it's really, really, it's a lot easier where you can set reminders. I've often kind of said for your furnace filters, everyone talks about how often to change furnace filters, and every 3 months is a great thing if you just do it, and that's when you do it, and it's constant, so it stays on top of that maintenance with your filters for you. But if you don't schedule something out, you think it's been 3 months and it's really been 9 sometimes, or if you do it every 3 months and you look at it and it's dirty, maybe you need to do it every 2 months. Maybe 4 months is good for your home. So just scheduling some time, a reminder to look at that furnace filter every month, once a month, go down there, pull it out, see what it looks like. And then you can kind of figure out how often does that get dirty in your home and how often should you really replace it, because you should replace it when it's dirty enough. And that's hard to tell if you're not checking it and knowing. So there's a lot of other things that really inspections. Another part of maintenance is scheduling yourself just to inspect. We often talk about the walk around the house, checking the roof, just looking at the roof, looking at the siding. Go in the basement, look at your plumbing, look at your furnace, look at the water heater. You don't have to be a furnace expert to look at the furnace and go, what's all this white dust on top of my furnace around this pipe? And maybe I should get somebody to check that out and look at that. So you can see things when you're looking at the gutters. If you see dark marks around all of the seams in the downspout or in the gutters, then you know it's probably been seeping out and leaking around there, and there's something that could be done to help that out and clean those gutters out, re-caulk the inside so that they're not leaking and dripping water. So, and then, of course, all your safety devices, consider testing them out, ensuring that your smoke detectors, your carbon monoxide detectors work, getting them up to date, up to code. If you're considering some remodeling in the future, it would be a great thing to have an electrician look at your house, see if your smoke detectors are up to code, how old are they, and maybe make them up to code so that when you go to remodel that kitchen or remodel that bathroom, you don't have to worry about tacking that on to an already daunting, time-taking, and expensive process as it is. So having some of these things done, and it's a great safety thing for you, your family, for everybody. They update, they create these rules and all the codes and everything for a reason that really most of them have good reason really behind them, and especially the safety ones do for sure. So, hey, well, we've got more of all of these for you we can run through. I would love to hear from everybody. We're going to take our break here, the last one before the hour. But, hey, you can find me right here. Anything you got, anything you need, any concerns, give me a shout. 314-436-7900. Find me. Don't touch that dial. We'll have plenty more to come after this.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, St. Louis, what do you got going on around your house? What are you considering for your New Year's resolution for your house? We've been going over a lot of that. I'd love to find out from you what you have going on. You can give me a call. We got plenty of time for everybody, 314-436-7900. And after this segment, we'll have an entire another hour to cover everything for everyone. So do not hesitate. Jump in and let's hear what you have going on. One New Year's resolution I did want to cover, which is probably seems like a difficult one for a lot of people, is going green. Considering going green and just trying to use less, start a garden, grow your own herbs, vegetables, even flowers. If you like flowers, if you grow your own and you take them in the house, and then you're not buying flowers that have been shipped. There's all these ways to be green that are kind of simple, that don't seem like much, but if a lot of people did it, it would really help out. So a compost pile, consider making your own natural fertilizer for the yard, for the garden, for the trees, everything around. A lot that you can do there. And of course, reducing water waste is a big one. And I'll get a little bit deeper into that here in just a little bit. But I want to jump over to Robin, who has a question for us. So let's see what's going on there. Robin, are you there?
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Hey, so here's my question. I've been in my house 10 years, and I have smoke detectors, CO2, the whole thing. But a friend of mine told me that every 10 years, well, the span is expected to be about 10 years. So my question is, should I just be proactive and replace them? Or how do I know when to do it so I don't have this incessant beeping at 3 o'clock in the morning to find out that there's a problem?
Yeah. Well, and sometimes that 3 o'clock in the morning beeping depends on what type you get as far as what battery's in there, because the battery backup, even for the wired smoke detectors, if you just get the ones with the regular 9-volt, they do make some that have a 10-year battery in them, so you don't have to worry about like a lithium battery. So considering which new ones you get and how long they say that battery will last, that's what will really help you with that 3 a.m. beeping. And everybody loves to get rid of that 3 a.m. beeping. But it is definitely a great idea. I mean, they kind of say 10, 12 years, something like that, is around when you should definitely change out the smoke detectors. I think carbon monoxide detectors are a little bit less. They're like 7-8 years they kind of recommend on them. So that would kind of take me to the 10-year mark for the smoke detectors and for the combination ones, because you're a little beyond on the carbon monoxide and a little bit right at it, or maybe slightly early for the smoke detectors. But yeah, a good rule of thumb would be change every smoke detector in the house every 10 years for a full new smoke detector, and that will keep you good. That will keep you up to date, because when they fail, there's no way to know. They can fail and not detect a fire. So if you have some that they're 15 years old, there's a good chance that if a fire started in the house, they may not go off. And that's why they're recommending to change them. So it's okay. Definitely a great thing to do, Robin.
Okay. So I'm a very minor do-it-yourselfer. I do a little tiny bit of electric. Like, I can switch out a working switch or outlet, something like that. How is this something that I can tackle myself, and it's hooked into my alarm system, or is it something that I should have somebody else do for me?
The alarm system's the tricky one, because if an alarm system company did it and wired it, that may be a little different than the ones that you buy at like a big box store that are just the hardwired with the battery in them. So that's a little trickier, and I'm not sure if they're in with your alarm system. I would probably say contact the alarm system company, because you want to make sure that works and works well with their alarm system. If all you have is the hardwired smoke detectors with the battery, then what I usually recommend for people trying to do it themselves, one, you got to be good getting up to your ceiling height in all the areas. So if you have 8-foot ceilings, you got to be comfortable getting on a 6-foot step ladder to reach it. But they do just unplug. So if you leave the bracket there and you just unplug the smoke detector, you can take one of them into the store and get one that's compatible with the plug. That makes it very, very easy, because you don't have to mess with the wiring. You're only disconnecting a plug and plugging a plug back in. So that makes it easy DIY for the powered ones that aren't on an alarm system.
All right. I'll call them. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. No problem. Thanks for the call and the question there, Robin. But yeah, if it does, definitely with the alarm company, you have to make sure it's going to be compatible with that alarm wiring and all of that. So I would definitely call them and make sure if it's hooked into ADT or any of those types of alarms, I would consider getting them involved. And they may be able to just sell you them, and maybe you can still easily change them yourself, just like I was talking about with the little plugs that come in and out, so you're not actually rewiring the whole smoke detector to the different wires and everything. Definitely makes it a lot easier for you, and it's definitely something to consider in these months, because in winter, December, January, February, this is when carbon monoxide takes place. There's a lot of it happening. So make sure you have those detectors. Make sure they're newer. Make sure they're working. If carbon monoxide detectors are older than 8-10 years, definitely change them out and get them taken care of. That's the biggest safety one right there for everybody. So, hey, we're going to get into our hour break. We'll have a ton more to come for you when we return in the next hour. I'd love to hear from everybody.